that's just even hard. It's hard to imagine what kind of interface to achieve the level of a virtual world that we're talking about here right
well,
now.
You get into a very, very interesting subject, and one that a lot of people will not touch, but I think it's an interesting and very essential part of the equation.
Lay it on me.
All right. I don't know if many of your users are similar with a site, or your listeners are similar, familiar with a site called RealDoll. They make artificial people.
What was the site again? RealDoll?
RealDoll.
RealDoll, oh boy.
They're used for sex, and they are artificial, they're like silicone bodies. And they're adding animation to these things at this point. That's part of their research.
What?
They're quite popular. They sell these things.
You're kidding.
I'm absolutely serious. It is an actual industry.
It's
an extension of the sex toy industry, and it has reached a point where they're adding robotic movement to things.
Wow.
So you can only imagine if you could plug something like that into the Internet,
yes,
the sort of interface you would achieve.
Well, yes, but what I'm saying is, what am I saying? You've just blown me away here. In other words, the control for this virtual doll would be across the Internet. And so to you, this virtual doll would be alive and doing everything you wanted.
That's correct. There's even a technical name for it. It's called a haptic interface.
A what interface?
Haptic, H-A-P-T-I-C. Consider that enough people are working on this, it actually has a technical name. The implications are astounding.
They are. Is this really a world we want to move into? I guess there's no choice. We're going to do it.
Well, that's it. You know, we're dragged into it kicking and screaming, and a lot of this happens completely unbeknownst to us, and it just springs on you. And so a lot of people are going to be certainly very surprised when they hear this information, but it's been going on for years, and it's only becoming more and more real by the minute.
Well, look, I do know that the amount of porn on the Internet is astounding. It is the primary business of the Internet, actually. That's kind of sad to think about, I guess. But the extension you're talking about, they would have to pass laws against it, wouldn't they?
Well, you know, and that's very interesting because it treads on a very fine line. You know, what are you allowed to do in the privacy of your home, and what are they allowed to regulate? If you get to the point where you have machinery that gives you that sort of tactile interface, and you can interface with other people on the other side of the net, then you have the ability to play robotic tourist in someone else's bedroom.
That site, you could go to that site now, and if you did, I don't want to give them unnecessary plugs here, but I'm dying of curiosity. I mean, what do you find?
Basically, all the different models and the way they look, the size, the structure, you can custom order the girl of your dream, and they sell them right off the shelf.
Do they take
what they want?
Do they take credit cards?
Yes, they have spare parts, which has an entirely new meaning now.
You just never know where you're going to go on talk radio, I swear. I'm sorry to say, or I guess I'm sorry to say, that the direction you're talking about is in all likelihood going to be one of the first commercial applications of this kind of technology. Holy smokes.
In my estimation, it will be the prime economic motivator. And then if you simply combine the existing virtual reality interface, a VR helmet, with this sort of technology, you can create any sort of a world or situation you want on demand, and you and other people can participate in it. And there are already virtual worlds on the Internet that many people do participate in. So this is just, you know, a prelude to what's going to come.
As you describe all of this that you see coming, Sir Charles, what kind of a world do you honestly imagine it's going to produce?
not one that I'm terribly happy to see, but, you know, somehow people always manage to survive. They always find a way to make a living and a way to do things, and this is just going to be integrated into our world like any other technology we have. The danger we face is that the changes are coming so fast and so quickly that, you know, and they're so amazing and fundamental that we are headed for the thing that they call the singularity, a point where we really cannot predict what's going to happen next. And it's really going to be accelerated by the interface of our minds with each other through the Internet or through other computer methods.
Well, that's why I was asking you about interfaces. Now, ultimately, there is going to have to be a hardware interface between a machine and a person for some aspects of virtual reality. Not a trivial interface either. It's going to have to go into areas of your brain that are quite significant, correct?
Well, that's true. And it's interesting because there are limited methods of interfacing with neurons that work really well, but they do eventually lead to a technology where you'd probably have some sort of an implant. And to lightly touch on the sorts of interfaces there are, the direct method right now is to use an electrode of a metal that doesn't react well, like gold. Gold is a good electrode material.
Mm-hmm.
Platinum electrodes can often be plugged directly into neurons.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, using this sort of technology, they created crude limbs that could be run for people with prosthetic limbs.
Yes.
Directly at the neural system. Well, later they went to external patches, and they have people who have literally bionic limbs that are hooked on their bodies, and they can run them by thinking. And then they have, and the problem with the electrodes is it damages the neurons, and sometimes the stub of a neuron is all that's left, and they will tend to die over time.
Okay, but won't the emerging technology, nanotechnology, potentially take care of that glitch?
Well, it could, and we've got a few bridge technologies that are getting us there, so we understand how. For instance, many organic plastics exist now that you can make transistors and other semiconductors out of, and some of them you might not have a rejection problem with. So you could grow organic transistors that would plug right into your existing neurons.
Huh.
And they would probably use a capacitive effect to couple the neurons. But they've got another way. When they were working on the artificial eyes with the ceramic films, they also found that they could use neurotransmitters, chemical interface, and directly talk to the nerves that way.
Huh.
Now, eventually, we're going to probably see nano interfaces as the cleanest and best way of doing it.